dollar bill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing very well. Did my first indoor comedy set last night.
Yeah, baby.
Very exciting stuff. Tom was on the show as well. And
I was also on the show.
Someone was in the audience, too.
There was a little someone in the audience. Did you know before you went on that this person was in the audience?
I knew before I was even going to go up.
Yes.
Because so Heather Graham, the actress who's in my favorite movie, Boogie Nights, Casey goes over, he goes, "Hey, Heather Graham's here." I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, and, that to me right before I went on stage, and then you're like racking your brain, and you're like, "What kind of jokes would Heather Graham?" Who knows? Like, I'm gonna write a whole new set within seconds of going on stage to impress Heather Graham.
It was very exciting. It was a great show, a lot of fun, a lot of friends in there.
If you live in Brooklyn, check out Casey, James Slingo, Will Winter, and Ryan Beck's show, The Big Weird, at Littlefield every Monday. Very fun show. And Heather Graham did not speak to either of us after the show. And I feel like I need to point out the person that Heather Graham was with did give Casey a lot of props. And was I jealous? Of course. I was losing my mind and very upset that he made me go first while he took the shining second spot so that Heather Graham might be moved to follow him on Instagram, which it could have happened. But we have a wonderful guest here today. I'm so excited to bring her on. And I want to see if she remembers this comment I made about her name the first time I met her. Which we've got Jade Catapretta on the show, whose name I did say before sounded like a luxury handbag. And
I've been trying to run with it. I'll send you some samples. Very excited to be here. Very excited to hear about Heather Graham. I worked with Heather Graham, and I was like Sorestrom.
Oh, shit.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was on Californication for, like, I did 7 episodes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm the only girl in the history of the show that ever has been rejected by David Duchovny's character.
That's
because
amazing.
I wouldn't show my tits. You know, like they were like, "It's too hard. Let's just have him reject you. It'll be
so funny.
More realistic." And I was like, okay.
That's amazing.
Good to be here, guys. Welcome back to comedy. All the chaos is back in our lives. We're all the self care is out the door.
They're all gone. I'm having a Bloody Mary as we speak because
I'm panicked.
Got to take the edge off of life again, you know.
I got this crooked joint right here. That's
hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to be back, and it's like I'm already exhausted. I've got. Every night I've got shit and I'm like, I'm so quickly. I was like, oh man, it'd be sick to just have a couple nights to do nothing again, as if we didn't just have that for so long. But
I know, but I think we learned that we need that. Like, because we would not slow down unless it was like a global pandemic, literally.
Right.
Like intense isolation is the only thing that made me realize like how unhealthy my lifestyle was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm right back to it, right back in.
Yeah. And how like little time you spent with my fiance was like, I was like gone every night before. And now when I'm gone every night, I'm like, oh man, we've spent all the time together before this. And now it's weird that I'm just gone all the time. It's very strange.
I know. Yeah. I was like, hey, maybe you want to do something Saturday night? Just because I got a bunch of shows I'm running around. So if you want to make plans, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm. Very strange. But have you been doing sets again in LA?
Oh, yeah. LA's like, it's so open. It's kind of overwhelming. I escaped this last week and I was in San Diego doing a weekend.
Nice.
Which was really exciting because my whole thing with like being a headliner is like, I have a lot of ego with not selling tickets. And so now it's like, we're at capacity. We're sold out after like 40 people. So I'm like, looks like I'm selling out now. It's a strange, like the pressure and like the adrenaline, it's kind of overwhelming for me right now. I bit off a little more than I can chew and my immune system can chew. And so I'm trying to find the balance of like self-care.
Yeah. I so quickly, like we did like two shows, the Cellar opened up and I did like two sets and I was like, I'm doing an album. And then I was like, I have not done 45 minutes in over a year or whatever. And I'm like already like, all right, let's do it. And then my agent's been following up. I got to message her back and be like, actually, let's do that in maybe February. Because
wow, you're giving yourself some time.
Yeah. I was like, I was going to do like October. And then I was like, oh, that is way too fast for me to like get shit together and get
do it, Tom. Just burn it. I got to burn this material. I'm doing like 10-year-old material stand up sex jokes where I use the fucking stool. Like, I need to burn this shit to the ground. I need, but like, it still works, you know? So, and I need the validation. So, like, fuck it.
If it's not on anything, that's the thing that I'm struggling with now, too, where it's like, I don't have an album out. So, I've got material that's like on stuff, but not on an album. And so, I just feel like I'm leaving money on the table that could be on Sirius or whatever. If you're somebody who listens to the show and you listen to stand up, tell me if it would piss you off if you heard me do stuff for my half hour on an album that never was.
Yeah, I want to know that stuff too, because like this weekend, like there was a guy who was there for both of the shows, and I found myself like weirdly catering to him and not wanting to do like the exact same order, even though it's like the order that I fucking found.
Yes.
And I was just like, I don't want him to hear all the same. It's like, who cares?
They
like
it's one guy and the rest of the crowd doesn't know any of it. And then that one guy, I almost want to like when somebody does that where they're like, we're staying for the late show, I want to be like, all right, I'm gonna just sit you down and be like, just so you know, it is going to be the same. And I apologize, but I can't do a whole new set. I'll try to throw in a couple things, but I was like, anytime somebody tells me up front they're gonna do that, I'm like, okay, but just so you know, it's probably gonna be very, very similar.
And I gotta let go of like, I feel bad for them being there in it anyway in the first place. I'm like, hey, you could go to dinner, or like there's other stuff to do. But so I'm just starting to be like, no, come to my show. Like, I've worked on this for a long time, like it's worth it. And you know, self-love. It's somewhere in there.
And it's like, I don't know about you, where I'm so much more judgmental of my own shit like that, where it's like, I'll watch somebody do the same set for 10 years in a row. And I'm like, I love that set. And then for me, if it's, I repeat something from 5 years ago, I'm like, you fucking fraud.
You piece of shit. We all think we're frauds, right? Like, that's the thing that drives us. I was just with Emma Willman and we were just like,
I love Emma Willman. I just saw her. I love her.
She just did my podcast and we were just both talking about this frantic energy that we're both trying to deal with of like getting back into the rhythm and how like we're constantly fighting these negative thoughts of like, you're a piece of shit, you piece of shit, everyone knows you're a piece of shit. And
you were just talking about doing old shit where she was like, sorry, I did some old stuff. And I was like, are you kidding me? I did a bunch of way old shit. And she's like, we're just doing that right now. That's fine.
We all are. We are all in the same, like I saw Bill do a set the other day and he had old stuff in it. And she said Sebastian had old stuff in his set. It's like, if Sebastian's doing it, we can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Bill Nye, of course, you're talking about the science guy.
Yes, the science guy. Doesn't have any new experiments up his sleeve.
Old experiments. Like,
oh, we're doing the volcano thing again?
This reminds me, I want to get this plug in real fast. Just speaking of selling tickets and worrying about not getting there, I'm doing the DC Improv May 20th.
I love that club.
22nd. One of my favorite clubs in the world, and I'm so honored that they're letting me headline the big room, and it is certainly because of COVID. It is certainly because it's lower capacity, but I would love to see people come out to that. So please get over there. DC Improv, May 20th through the 22nd. And with that, let's get into it. We're talking Rent today.
Musical.
The musical. So I'm just going to full disclosure here. I never saw Rent before. I didn't take a trip to New York and see it on Broadway, nor did I see the movie film that Idina Menzel and
not even the live action one.
No, actually, did I see that? No, because we did watch some live action stuff like that at in school, like growing up, but I think Rent was maybe a little too risque for my middle school in Indiana, so completely missed it. But of course I knew the hit, like I knew the 500
Seasons of Love.
That's the only one. I didn't put that one on the list, by the way, because that one is just, you know what I mean, that's like the that's the one that's like watered down. We don't need that one.
Sure.
Too many numbers.
I appreciate that. It is, of course. I watched the movie right before the show just now. I did not finish it. It's frozen on a screen of the guy who's spoiler alert, the guy whose partner dies.
Adam Pascal's character. Yeah.
I'm so prudish. I can't even say that they're lovers. It's like his partner.
His partner died. Oh, no, no. You're talking about Angel's. Okay. Angel's partner.
Angel's partner. Yes. I can't remember his name. He's the most likable character in the whole thing to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far out ahead, but I fucking hated this movie.
This is kind of unfair though, because I'm fighting for a musical. A musical has a different energy than a Hollywood produced version of it. They took almost the entire cast except my favorite person in the cast, Mimi Rubin-Vega, who is plays Mimi, or Daphne Rubin-Vega, that's her name. And she, you know, they placed her with Rosario Dawson, who is beautiful, lovely, but just that it needs that grunge of being in a theater. So I feel like the movie is kind of unfair to base it on that.
Yeah, that's fair. And I had a feeling you were going to say that. The only reason, so I was torn on which one to watch today, because I only had a couple hours, and the actual Broadway one was about a half hour longer than I had. So
I get it.
And also, the movie got good ratings. Like it said, or at least on Amazon, it said 4.5 out of 5 or whatever. So I was like, I guess people like this. And then
Jeff Bezos are rating it now. They're like, it, sorry.
Bezos loves it. Yep.
Tom, you should point out, since you're talking about how much you hate rent, you are a landlord. The listeners should know that.
That is true. I'm a self-hating landlord. I hate rent more than anybody.
Listen, I was a landlord for a while, and I have to tell you this one trick, okay? This one guy would not leave. He was going to squat. We're like, we got to get this fucking guy out of here. Mm-hmm. You got to fuck with their water pressure. This is what I would do. I would take it down a little bit every day.
You were gaslighting him, but with water, you were water pressure.
Water lighting him.
Yeah. I was water lighting him. He'd be like, what's up with the water pressure? I'd be like, I have no idea.
That's
and then funny. One day I'd make it really too hard, and then I'd bring it back down. So just in case you need some technique.
That move of squatting blows my mind. And I do want to get into that with this, where it's like, for the most part, you know, I've hated every landlord I've had except for one. Actually, my Chicago landlords were pretty cool, but the landlords that I've had in New York are all pieces of shit, and I hate them so much. And they, our apartment, for example, I talked about it on the podcast when it was happening, but it was legit flooding. We had to leave because there was a leak in the ceiling that was so bad. It was springing from all 7 different places, and we couldn't contain it. And a bunch of our shit got destroyed, our nice rug or whatever. And our landlords were like, well, you guys have plants on the roof, so that's probably the problem. So it's your fault. And it's like, that's not how plants work. That doesn't make any sense. And
I think you have plant and rain confused.
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's and also, even if we had a plant on the roof, who gives a shit? That doesn't cause the ceiling.
New York, fucking landlords. Or mine was a Hasidic Jew in New York, and he wouldn't even let me sign the lease by myself. So I had to sign it with my ex, and that caused so many issues. After we broke up, and I was he wouldn't even look me in the eye or shake my hand, and I showed up braless to look at the apartment, and he was like, "You need your boyfriend here to look at this."
Oh my god,
that style.
Wild, yeah.
So.
Point being, I do not like landlords for the most part, but I got to tell you, somebody made this comment. I think it was Jeremy Levenbach, but these people made me side with the landlords. It's like, why aren't you paying your fucking rent? Get a job. Right.
No, because this is the problem. They're not paying rent because they had a deal with the landlord. They were roommates. They were friends. And they were like, hey, one day we'll make it all together. And then this guy gets all hoity-toity, hooks up with this rich woman, and now is making them pay rent. All of a sudden, his girlfriend just died from AIDS. Come on, have a little compassion.
Sure. Sure, I get all that, but at some point, you gotta pay your fucking rent.
Their apartment, you have to pay your rent
too. It's such a big apartment.
And it's a loft apartment in Harlem.
It is so nice looking, and then they're like, "Why should we have to pay any rent ever?" And it's like, I don't know, man. That's New York, bud. And
but we also have to back it up. Okay, this is why rent. This is why rent was very monumental to me. Okay. I was in middle school the first time I went to New York, truly. My dad was supposed to he chaperoned us. He was supposed to take us all the stuff, but instead he just took us to rent and then to his artist friend's house, who was a cokehead and had all this crazy art. And so I had this it made such an impression on me. You know, I'm like, I'm going to be a poor artist living in New York one day, doing drugs and singing about rent. And I didn't understand like half of the play. Like there's one part where they're like doing this condom. Like, you know, when you're a little kid and you do that thing where you're like in a parachute and you go under. Mm-hmm. So they were doing that. And it was like a whole thing about like, you know, wearing condoms and safety. And I just kept thinking like, well, look at that fun parachute thing they're doing. So it was like way too early for me to watch it. And I also realized like a lot of about my sexuality and being gay from the play. And so like, it just has that special place in my heart,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
But yeah, the most annoying song of it all is the very first song. 525,600 minutes. Everyone loves that one.
I like that one. That's,
you like that one?
I kind of do like Seasons of Love. It's just like, you know what it is? It's we played it at my grandpa's funeral, and it has like a very like special, like my mom had me make a playlist for my grandpa's funeral, which is
he had HIV, right?
What's that?
Yeah, you had HIV. Your grandpa.
Yeah, he was a stripper in New York, and he died from HIV. I'm so sorry.
No. Yeah. But she had me make a mixtape for this funeral, and she wanted me to play this song twice on it.
But why? What's the significance?
It's just like a song about dying, so it's like it's somewhat uplifting. We also put Five for Fighting's 100 Years on there. It was all it was, you know, a little on the nose.
That's cool though. It's celebratory. And I only like the in that song, I like the when it's like Caesar, the woman that like the black lady who does like the little runs at the end. I'm like, that's when I'm like, but you know, I had to do the like the choreographed, like, you know, you guys can't see, but I'm doing a lot of really crazy choreography right now.
It's incredible.
But I just really like I love musical theater. That's what I went to college for. My hour is a musical that I'm working on, and
oh, amazing.
Spoken word does it for me, like with background music, rhythmically speaking to music, not necessarily singing, like sing talking.
Sure.
It really like, I was gonna say rubs my boat, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
So do you like cake? That's the first thing that came to mind. If somebody's talking over music and it's like sing talk.
Yeah, I do. I do like it. I do like, I like anything that but I like a little more emotion in it. It can't be just like thrown away. Like I am here doing this, you know, So yeah, like the very first song where they're just like talking and things happen, like I'll sing the entire thing, every part, you know?
Yeah. So when you said the first song, I thought you were talking about the song Rent, which I almost turned the movie off. I was so
mad. How do you document that one?
Wait, let me see how it sounds. This isn't on your playlist, I don't think, but let me just
look at
the one. I think I just don't like the main guy's voice either.
Adam Pascal, he's so hot. Roger.
Is this it?
Yeah, this is it. I love this song.
Yes, this is it.
This year's red, next year's red, 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 red.
They really get that title in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's the name of this? I forgot. We're not gonna be red. Because everything is red. And it's true. Everything is a train. The whole message behind it is that like people aren't there for each other when money becomes involved, and like what you're paying for is like,
yeah,
you know, so it's a lot of messages within the song.
Tommy, what's your history with this, with Rent?
Back when I was more into musical theater when I was like in high school, I was doing plays and stuff. And I definitely really liked the Rent soundtrack. I think this is one I would listen to a lot. And I remember liking the movie, but then, yeah, listening to today, there's some songs I still really love, but a lot of songs where I was like, oh man, I don't want to listen to this at all. So it's kind of a mixture, I would say.
People either love it or hate it. You know, it's kind of like, we're talking about cilantro, you know, it's like, that's what Emma said. It's like, yeah, it's like you either, like it either really does it for you or it makes you like fucking want to kill. You know what I mean? It's just like, why did he murder all those people? Well, Rent came on the radio. And
I do think it's fascinating that the guy who wrote it died before it opened.
He died. Cool. He had seen the preview. He was alive for the preview week, but he never got to see its full success. He died. It was 1998, and I believe he died from AIDS.
Well, what I read, I heard he just had like an aneurysm. Just like,
okay, just kidding. Okay, good, yeah, good, good. Yeah. But did he also have?
Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's so scary thinking about that time because, I mean, we just went through a much scarier like pandemic and everything, but like imagine being like a gay man in the 90s when everyone's God, like, yeah, you have AIDS, like,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And you got to pay your rent. It's like, whoa. Like, okay, I get how rent isn't for you, but my favorite part of that, like, and they go, the phone rings. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ring, ring, zoom in on the answering machine. I like these weird little, like, the actions are saying too. Like, they're, it's like almost exposition. You know, that character in the movie that's like, wow, you got here at 7 p.m. We're in a movie theater. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's like that one song where they're talking about whether how he wants Maureen to cancel the protest, but they're just singing the whole conversation back and forth. I enjoy that one.
I like that part where he's like, how is Maureen? She is a drama queen. She's performing tonight. I know. Still a production manager. Last year I was dumped. You still dating her? Last year I was dumped. She's in love. She's got a new man. No. What's her name? Joanne. Rent, my amigos is due or I will have to evict you. Be there in a few. And then it big click.
Damn. You still got that down pat. Wow.
I know it almost word for word the entire thing.
That's wild. That's
yeah,
amazing.
It was like, it was one of those things that I just like, I was homeschooled the last couple of years of high school. And I had this one other friend named Millicent who was clearly homeschooled. You can tell by her name. And she played the harp and we would just like secretly get a little tipsy and like play it over and over and over again and quiz each other. And when I lived alone for the first time, I would kind of sing it through when I was like really scared at night. It was like kind of this little blanket, you know, like I would start it from the beginning, like December 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and see if I could get how far I could get into it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I need to get a life.
I also want to say I'm not coming into this as a hater. I'm trying to give it a chance. And it's not, it was the first song really bothered me. And I didn't realize it is on your playlist here, but there were some songs that I did enjoy. I just immediately I was like, I hate this guy's voice. The long hair.
Is it because is it too like
Yeah, I think it is. And it's just like weird to me. I don't know. I was just like, I was not expecting him to sound like that. And then
He's depressed.
But you know, there were moments I liked. I liked when they got together.
Like
the moment where he and
Light My Candle.
Yeah, well, is that the one where they actually are together, or is it's the one?
Light My Candle's one where they're like flirting and meeting.
Yeah,
when
that's the one.
Flirting. Yeah,
I like the one where they're like it's in the middle of Boheme or whatever. Boheme.
Lovey Boheme.
Yeah, it's in the middle of that where they're like, I need to tell something I should tell you.
I should tell you.
I like that one. Yeah, I was into that. But let's hear some of the songs you picked. I already played some of it, but I'll play a little bit more. I didn't realize it was on your playlist here, but the song went.
I hate this one song. Have you heard of it?
Let me play a little bit of Rent here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day? Headlines, bread lines blow my mind, and now this deadline, eviction or pay. Song when the chords sound wrong, but they once sounded right and rare. When the notes are sour, where is the power you once had to ignite the air? We're hungry and frozen, so guys, we've chosen. How are we gonna pay? How are we gonna pay? How are we gonna pay? Yeah.
I can see how someone would hate that.
I think I had to pay rent today, and I was like, if I have to do it,
okay. So the guy who played Roger, his name is Adam Pascal. He's like a huge Broadway actor. He was in Aida afterwards, and like he's just a working Broadway actor. And he was like my biggest crush. Like I stayed in line for like an hour and a half once to see him like do a Shakespeare in the Park or something. And he was like kind of meeting the fans, and I was like, ah, so excited. And then he comes up, he's like, hey, nice to meet you. And I was like, and then for years I've been like, I guess he's gay, but he's not. He's like married with a wife. He just had a little bit of a gay voice, but I thought he'd be like, hey, nice to meet you. You know, from how he sings. But wait, he's like, hey.
That's the guy with the like longer hair. That's like the.
Yeah, Roger.
That's Adam Pascal. Okay.
And he's like very attractive and like very talented actor too.
What is the name of the other guy? The blonde guy?
Who's Adam Mark. Rapp, right? Or Mark. Anthony Rapp.
Oh, his name's Mark. Yes,
Anthony Rapp. Okay. I
he's a great actor.
Voice a little more.
Yeah. He's also in a lot more like mainstream TV stuff. Like.
He's in Dazed and Confused too.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Nerd. Good call.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized his ass. All right. Shall we hear one song, Glory?
Also, by the way, let me just preface this. If you guys haven't seen the play, it's so like Roger is like he's a frustrated artist, songwriter, and Mark is a documentary filmmaker.
Yes. And Roger has like not written a song in forever, right?
Because also his girlfriend just killed himself, and we find out that they both have AIDS.
I see. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. See, I missed some things.
So this song is when he describes it.
I see. Okay. So let's hear one song, Glory. This is where you describe it.
One song, Glory. One song. Before I go, Glory, one song to leave behind. Find one song, one last refrain, Glory, from the pretty boy front man who wasted opportunity. One song, he had the world at his feet, Glory, in the eyes of a young girl, a young girl. Find glory beyond the cheap colored lights. One song before the sun sets. Glory on another empty life. Time flies. Time dies. Glory. One blaze of glory.
That song rules. I really like that.
I mean.
And I don't mind his voice as much in that one as the others.
I don't mind his growling in that one as much.
Because I do like the song. So it's like, maybe that's it. It's him talk singing that I like. I just find his voice to be a little irritating in the, maybe it's also looking at him too, while I'm listening to it.
I know. I remember watching the movie and being like, oh, like not as into it as I was. Like something happens like when you watch a play, you know, you see them from far away and you sort of project your own ideals onto the person. Like you can't really fully see what they look like, but you're like, that kind of looks like that guy. And that's who they become. And then you look at the little like playbook, you know, and you're like, this is what they fucking look like. Like you just project so much. And that's what I love about theater. It's this experience that sort of becomes your own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of ironic that he's trying to write a song the whole time. And it's like, let's do that song. That's good.
And that's your song. There it is. You did it, buddy. It's over.
You can pay rent.
Voice memo. Yeah. You gotta use the phone voice memo app. Yeah.
You just gotta start recording yourself. All song. Day,
yeah.
Killing it. It turns out he's just like trying to find the perfect rap.
It turns out that his girlfriend actually didn't have HIV. She just hated his voice. That's why she killed herself.
So the next one is the sexy, like they're flirting and he's not having it. She keeps like being very aggressively obvious that she wants to fuck, and he's
I feel like you should play the karaoke version of this and you and I should do the duet.
That would be
like, why didn't we plan this ahead of time?
We planned it ahead of time. We really blew it. I love how he's just like, all right, well, see ya. Like the whole time he's kind of just not into it. And now I realize it's because his girlfriend is dead, but
just killed herself. But also my favorite part is at the very end, you won't get to it, but she goes, do you want to dance? Mm-hmm. She says he has big hands, and he's like, do you want to dance? And she's like, with me. And she's like, with my father.
I love that joke. Yeah.
I'm Roger. I love the very end.
And then I'm Roger. He just throws it out there because it rhymes with father.
Yeah. I think I was wondering, I was like, why did they do that line?
No, with my father. Yeah, she gets his ass.
That's a roast.
Okay, so here is here's Light My Candle.
What'd you forget?
Got a light.
I know you're shivering.
It's nothing, they turned off my heat. And I'm just a little weak on my feet. Would you light my candle?
Nothing, your hair in the moonlight. You look familiar. Can you make it?
Just haven't eaten much today. At least the room stopped spinning anyway. What?
Nothing, your smile reminded me of.
Always remind people of. Who is she?
She died. Her name was April.
It's out again. Sorry about your friend. Would you light my candle?
Well,
yeah.
Ow. Oh, the wax, it's
dripping. I like it between my
fingers, I figured. Oh, well, good night. Again.
No, I think that I dropped my stash.
I know I've seen you out and about when I used to go out. Your candle's out.
A minute, I had it when I walked in the door. It was pure. Is it on the floor?
Floor?
They say that I have the best ass below 14th Street. Is it true?
What?
Is it true?
I mean, you do have a nice, I mean,
just starts so nervous. I mean,
I just love, like, that song, just, it's just so classic. Yes. Just the back and forth, like, just like, she's a stripper, but it's so cute. She's like, look at my ass. And then she's like, dropped her heroin, I think.
I love, the joke where he's talking about how she's at the club or whatever, and he goes, they used to tie you up, and she gives it's a living.
I
love
that. He's like, I didn't recognize you without the handcuffs.
Yes. Yeah, I like that one a lot too. I think it's a lot of fun.
So cute.
I also love the compliment of best ass below 14th Street.
That's what
below 14th.
What is happening on 15th Street?
Look, 15th. There are some dump trucks, but I mean, below.
The closer that you get into the upper that west side, the bigger the asses.
That was exactly why I stopped it there. That's so funny. Yeah, below 14th Street. Imagine
below 14th Street.
Now, I've seen some asses in the Central Park, but down here, you're good.
It's this weird thing. Like every time it comes on, it's so nostalgic for me. It makes me feel like, I can't explain it. It's like an old friend. Like I know the words so well. It's like, I can literally just meditate through it because it's like, I go into this space of like, it just coming out. You know, when you have a set and you're like, what am I going to, and then everything just comes out and you sort of black out.
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing for me where like, I can really black out listening to it. Cause it's like, I know every word. It's very soothing.
Mm-hmm. Is this your favorite musical?
It's up there. I have a really soft spot for Dear Evan Hansen.
I never saw that one.
It's kind of a newer one. And like when I was going through my breakup, my friend recommended it. And it was like that thing that was always on, like on repeat. And the storyline is so bizarre. It's basically about this kid who's like, his dad left when he was really young. And he was like kind of a dork. And he's like, really depressed.
Is this what?
Yeah. So it's about this guy named Tom, right? Like his apartment just flooded. It sucks. But he basically like gets bullied by this kid, and he has this letter that he wrote to himself that his mom was like, you have to write a letter to yourself, honey, you know? And the kid like takes the letter and is like bullying him. And then the kid kills himself. And everyone's like, why did he have this letter of yours? And he's like, and he lies. And he was like, we were actually friends. And so then he lies about them having been friends. And then he starts dating his sister and like becomes really close to the family. And like, finally he's accepted because he's like mourning this kid. And then he has to like, basically be like, I lied about the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Ben Platt is like one of the most incredible people I've ever seen. He's hysterically crying, spitting, singing, like hitting notes I've never heard. And it was the best thing I've ever seen live. It was just,
wow.
I was blown away. Hysterical, laughing at the same time too. Just like manic.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy. So
that sounds great.
Tom, what's your favorite musical?
So I have a history with musicals where it's like, I hated them pretty early on, but then I loved Grease, and I even more loved Grease 2.
I love Grease 2.
I don't know.
Production. That's a song though.
Maybe it's just because it's Michelle Pfeiffer in Grease 2, right? And I think maybe I liked her a little bit more, and I liked the motorcycle thing. Like I just thought it was really cool. And yeah, I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe I just liked their chemistry more than John Travolta. And
I like the second one too. It's like, there's more to it. It's like more theatrical. There's all this stuff that happened. Like there's more storyline. It's not as like basic.
Yeah. And I kind of like that I like the storyline. I like that it's this guy coming in and he thinks he sucks and he's like not like in and he's getting, and then he wins over the girl. It's like, I just think it's fun, but it's been so long since I've seen him. But in college, I took some theater classes, and they like made you go see things for the classes, and they made us see Oklahoma. And I was like, I want to never hear someone sing again.
That's a rough one. That's kind of like very rapey too. I was just talking about this with someone the other day. Like I watched it recently and I'm like, so it's basically about how this guy like kind of stalks and like kind of rapes. I don't know. It's like kind of a weird, it's like, how is this allowed to still be a classical musical? We need to Me Too Oklahoma, you guys. Yes. It's time.
Yes, get it out of here. But
and those are your musicals. That, like, have you seen any on Broadway of late? Like some that have been up
on Broadway ever? So yeah. It's like, I would like to see.
Tom, you have to. Yeah. Are you in LA or are you in New York? You're in New York,
right now. Yeah, yeah.
You have to. I mean, as soon as Broadway opens again, the experience. It's like you have to go see. My other like favorite musical, Sarah Bareilles wrote it.
Oh, Waitress?
The Waitress, yeah.
No, I love Sarah Bareilles, so I did want to see that. This is the thing. I think if I saw more modern ones, because now I saw Oh Hello and I loved that.
That was amazing,
I want to see that. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
I've seen like the Book of Mormon or like, I do think, I think I would enjoy Waitress quite a bit. And our
Waitress is so good.
Yeah, I love Sarah Bareilles. So it's like, I saw Sarah Bareilles live. I've said this on the show. I went to, when I was like too old to do this, I went with my mom to see Maroon 5, and Sarah Bareilles was one of the openers. And that was the first time I ever saw her. It was before she had a radio hit. And I loved her. I was like all in on her.
She's so pure. You guys should have Casey Balsham on the show yet? Mm-hmm. She's a comedian. She's an incredible New York girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's got an incredible like broad voice.
Oh, really?
And we have a love for The Waitress. So we went to see The Waitress when Sarah Bareilles was like playing the part.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, who's the guy who did it? Not Eric Hutchinson, but the guy who's like singer-songwriter, kind of funny. Everybody's obsessed with him. Oh my God. It's like a name that everybody knows. It's going to bother me. Hey, Google, who played the guy in The Waitress on Broadway? Let's see if Google knows. No, Google's not even talking to me. How embarrassing. I can't think of who the guy was. But anyway, we went to see it. The best part of the show is they sell these little mini pies in the theater. So it's like a very visceral experience. Like you feel like you're kind of smelling the pies.
Oh, I love that. Oh, is it? Wait, no, it's
Jack
not.
Johnson. No, like a Jack Johnson type.
Billion, is it? No.
No, because he's like.
Oh, wait, Waitress.
Bro. Not Eric Hutchinson. Who's the guy who's just like Eric Hutchinson, but they have like, not Jack Johnson. Oh, it's killing me.
We got to find it.
It's really going to bother me because let's see The Waitress. He's on the original one that she did it with Sarah Bareilles. Let's see.
Yeah.
That's another musical that you can do the whole thing. Like every song is good. Jason Mraz. Jason Mraz.
Oh, Mr. A to Z.
Yeah. So Jason Mraz was on it. And then me and Casey like left outside. You know how some of the actors are like outside the Broadway show. And we just go, we saw him. We're like, Jason. And he like looked at us thinking we knew him. And he's like, and we were just like, oh, you're great. Yeah. You're awesome. And he was like, cool. Thanks. That music is so good. Because she wrote it. I mean,
I'm sure I would like that. I should give that a shot. For sure. I do want to go see things more now that, once things come back, I'm telling myself that I'm going to make a point of going to shit that I, cause like before the pandemic, it's like you get so obsessed with your work shit and it's all at night. So you don't, I feel like you miss so much stuff. Like I would barely ever go to concerts or like,
yeah, like relationships and life, right. Self-care. Yeah. It's a bummer. Yes. All right, what's the next song? What did I have on my list?
Next song here, which is a song called Today for You.
Today for you, tomorrow for me. Today for you, tomorrow for me.
And you should hear her beat. You earn this on the street.
It was my lucky day today on Avenue A when that lady in a limousine drove my way. She said, darling, be a dear. Haven't slept in a year. I need your help to make my neighbor's yappy dog disappear. This Akita, Epita, just won't shut up. I believe if you play nonstop, that pup will breathe its very last high-strung breath. I'm certain that cur will bark itself to death. Today for you, tomorrow for me. Today for you, tomorrow for me. We agreed on a fee, $1,000 guarantee, tax-free. And a bonus if I trim her tree. Now who could foretell that it would go so well? But sure as I am here, that dog is now in doggy hell. After an hour, Evita, in all her glory, on the window ledge of that 23rd story, like Tama and Louise did when they got the blue, swan dove into the courtyard of the Gracie Muse.
So did she... She killed a dog.
Killed a dog. I was shocked watching this.
Like Cruella.
I did a podcast with the original guy who played Angel. And I was like, so did you kill the dog? And he was like, well, you know, it's up open for interpretation.
I don't think it is.
I'm like, but I'm pretty sure she dove off the balcony and died. And I have a chihuahua, so I'm like, what?
I was like shocked listening to that. I was like, is this going where I think it's going? And then it's like, yeah, I killed a dog with my music or something. And
Well, cause she like, so we didn't play, but like, she's like a big, like street, like drummer. Yeah. And the guy who does, I mean, the original guy is incredible. He like, it's a man doing this in like 4-inch heels, like drumming and dancing and just this beautiful. Yeah.
It was one of my favorite scenes is, him jumping around and like playing drums on the different parts of the apartment. And I was like, that part was like fun. I enjoyed watching that. And I, you know, rest in peace to that dog.
I know. I'm like, so you killed it. I mean, they're out on the streets. You know, it's rough. That dog wasn't paying rent, so it had to go.
I mean, neither are they, but
that is the most 90s beat, too. It's like, it really brings you back.
It's like very Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I asked him, I'm like, what was the hardest part? He's just like, honestly, like the acrobatics in like high heels was just, he was like, I would just always fuck myself up. Yeah. I'm like, I can imagine, you know?
No, it seems so hard to do that. Very impressive.
But Angel is the heart of the whole show. Like she's kind of what brings everybody together.
Yes. Angel's great. Big fan of Angel's work in the movie. All right. The next song we have here. Oh, do you need to charge your stuff? I'll just play
it. I'm going to charge real quick. Yeah, play it.
So the next song is Tango, Maureen. So let's hear some of Tango, Maureen.
The samples won't delay, but the cable.
There's another way. Say something. Anything.
test 1, 2, 3.
Anything but that.
This is weird.
It's weird.
Very weird.
Fucking weird.
I'm so mad that I don't know what to do. Fighting with microphones, freezing down to my bones, and to top it all off, I'm with you.
Feel like going insane. Got a fire in your brain, and you're thinking of drinking gasoline.
As a matter of fact,
honey, I know this act. It's called the Tango Maureen. The Tango Maureen. It's a dark, dizzy merry-go-round. As she keeps you dangling,
you're wrong.
Your heart she's mangling. And you toss and you turn, cause her cold eyes can burn. Yet you yearn and you churn and rebound.
I think I know what you mean.
The Tango Maureen.
I love it. So it's, he was dating this girl who's now dating her.
Yes.
And they're like trying to get her this performance ready for Maureen. Cause Maureen's like this performance artist. Mm-hmm. She's kind of the problem of the whole play. I'm not going to lie. Like she's the one that's the wild card. That's making everybody kind of be loose.
Yeah.
When it's like, get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I love that. Cause at the very, they're dancing and he's like, this is, it's hard to do this backwards. And she's like, you should try it in heels. It's just, the whole thing is just so cheesy. That one is like the cheesiest of yeah. all of them.
And that is before we realized that Maureen is Adele Dazeem, of course.
Oh, Adele Dazeem. Oh my God. Yeah. She was, I think I saw her. I saw the original cast, so I think I might have seen her. I was just so obsessed with Mimi.
That it was her, and she's so good.
She's so good. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's. I was like, why do I recognize this person? It's because the movie is, 16 years old or something.
Is it really? Wow, that makes me feel fucking ancient.
Perfect age for a woman.
Oh, come on. I did not say that.
Tommy, dude.
Not true.
17 not true. At least.
I try to tell him. But anyway. I'm pretty sure it's from 2005, but I could be wrong on that, but I'm
yeah. I remember when the movie came out, I was so upset because I was like, now people that already hate On Rent are gonna hate On Rent even more, you know, because the storyline, you know. I remember there was like a South Park thing about it where they were just like, AIDS. Well, kind of like that.
Yep. I just looked it up. It came out November 23rd, 2005, which is my birthday. So that's probably why I didn't like it. I was like,
because you're a Scorpio, you little sassy bitch.
Sagittarius. Thank you very much, Jade.
Get your handbag today.
All right. Let's hear Out Tonight.
Okay. This is the song. This is the song I used to audition when I did musical theater. Wow. This is the thing.
All right. Let's hear it.
Danger. It says I wanna come in.
I'm gonna skip to where he's part of it. Oh wait.
Oh no, he doesn't come on this one.
I mean, he's just in the She's just
thinking, he's just like
Yes.
I mean, come on, guys. That song is just
it's great. It's a banger.
So exciting, you know.
It's fun. That one is
great.
Fun.
Chorus. I love that.
And she's like on a railing, like with like Pretty Woman, like slut boots on. And it's just like very like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, she is like 17 or 18 or something. She's like really young. Her character is supposed to be like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the age where you strip.
Yep. Of yeah. And it's, wait, what the hell is the name of the actress? Why can't I pull this?
This is Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson. Character. And she's great at it. She's she kills it in that scene. Very good. We got one more song here because we did give us a seventh. And I want to point out because Outs and I mixed up with the the one where they're at that
restaurant. Bohemian Rhapsody is another one that I wanted to put on, but then I was like, it's too many songs. But that one is so good because it's so interesting. It's a rap about like everything that's going on. And it's so interesting to see like the 90s references, which are like exactly the same as now minus social media. I don't know. It makes me want to live back then. Like it makes me miss like telling a friend to meet me at a movie theater and like they didn't show up. They were dead, you know, and I miss that old feeling. Like, so I like that for that. But yeah, Take Me or Leave Me is like Maureen's song. I just love this because like these two lesbians fighting.
Yes. And it's like the end. They're like, is it at their, so they're engaged. Is this their engagement party or is this the wedding?
No. So this performance is like her performance. She has this like performance art performance where she's like talking about like homeless people and whatever. It's absurd. You know, it's like weird. And she's helping her with everything. And yet she's like flirting with other people and probably sleeping with other people. And
And it's essentially, if you can't, I'll be my best, sort of mentality. Take me or leave me.
Every single day I walk down the street, I hear people say, baby, so sweet. Ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember that I'm your baby. Take me for what I am.
Another one that you think you can sing and then like halfway through you're like out of breath and like sweating. You're like, how does she do this?
Yeah,
she's so talented. And like, and then her like girlfriend comes, or her fiance comes in and is like, I like lists, you know. And so I relate to both of them.
I think we should take off, we aren't going to do the rating yet, but I think let's take off Rent because I think that was I think the other six will get a higher rating because there was a lot of bangers in there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to do it out of seven, but I think you're right because that was going to be
it was going to be a zero from both of us. So, I also hate that one. So, but I like.
Damn it. Okay. But I like it because it's bad. Let's just agree.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So we got to get to our next segment before we rate the playlist here is that we go to the peanut gallery. We get the finger on the pulse of the listeners here, what they have to say about the musical Rent. And we got quite a few comments here. We go to Patreon first, so the people on Patreon get guaranteed to have their comment read. And I only posted a couple hours before, so we only got a couple on that. But James Buntrock says, my wife is the musical lover, so I asked her if she had any comments, and she said, the movie is crap. let's see here. He said, if you, this has nothing to do with with Rent, so I'm going to skip that one. I do also want to point out really fast, just another irritation with the characters, because did you post on Twitter, by the way, Tommy?
Yeah, I have two from Twitter.
I'll say this real fast because it relates to Jeremy's comment about the characters being hateable, where I really hated where they go into the restaurant or that bar, and the guy's like, you can't come here anymore, you never buy anything. And then the guy's like, what are you talking about? I bought a tea last time I was here. And he's like, yeah, but you didn't pay for it. And then it's like, yeah, these guys are fucking assholes.
And then they're like dancing on the tables and shit. You're like, get out of here.
Like, please don't push the tables together. They're like, let's push the tables together. It's like, if you were at a bar and they walked in like this, you'd be like, God damn it. Like, this is going to suck. They're going
to
be.
I know. I like to imagine, just because I'm so in love with the characters, that that guy's an asshole and that like he deserves it. And like, he was an asshole in the past. And so that they're like, it almost feels like they're like aggressive towards him in a way that they have some history.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
if they go into your restaurant and never order anything and they're just sitting there for hours, you're like, yeah, we got to get,
yeah, you're like, can you stop rapping with your feet on the table and kissing each other? I love that part where they're like, are you guys sisters? They're like, yeah, we're sisters. And they kiss.
Yep. Yep. This would have been a good sketch 20 years ago where it's the you're that guy and you're just like, God, or you're another customer in that bar.
Guys, come on. It's just a bunch of like homeless people singing in my rap. Please leave.
Anyway, so we got some comments on the Twitter, right? Tommy, you want to take that away?
Yes. So we have Lizzie Bridgers said this movie was such a big deal for all us choir kids in high school. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Corey Jose said, it's the only way I can remember how many minutes are in a year. Which I think is true for most people, I think.
I've never, if you asked me, like, how many minutes are a year, I would never think of it. Like, after hearing the song 525,000 times, I would be like, what's the number?
Is it 525,600?
600. Yeah.
Okay.
See, it would have gotten it wrong.
Because I always measure the year in daylights and sunsets and midnights and cups of coffee, so it's like I don't even know the minutes.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that beautiful? I'm a tea drinker, but besides that, yeah.
Tracy Carnazzo wrote on the Facebook here, it says it just says Joey Fatone fire. Did he play, was he a part of Rent?
He might have done maybe the live version in Weird. Some capacity, I don't remember. But cool.
Good for Joey. Lance Bass is supposedly on this circle this season. So all these boy band guys are doing well.
I love Lance. He's just up for, you know what it is? Like everyone makes fun of him. Like, oh, he's not doing well. He's fucking crushing. He just loves doing random stuff. Like he really gets off on the YOLO part of it, you know, just like whatever.
Good
like
for him. You
he's
know?
So nice. I'm a fan. I became a fan of him after from knowing him in comedy.
Uh-huh. He seems like a good guy. I don't know. On the circle, the person who's representing him works for him. And she
spoiler.
Makes him sorry. It's spoiled immediately when he's on the show. But, and also, the circle sucks. It's
stop it, Tom.
I like it because Michelle Buteau is a good friend.
She's
so.
Great.
She's a great host, yeah.
I just mean, it's like, you know what? As far as a reality show, it's fine. Like it's not.
I think it's doing really well. It's been like number two in the U.S. for the last like two.
I like
two
it.
3 weeks.
It's killing it, and but it's just like one of those time sucks. And so I've watched so many hours of it.
You're like, am I fucking dumber? Yeah, I like because of the soup. Like I watched so much. Like I watched Alaskan Bush People like seven seasons worth. Like I feel like I know them. I wrote them letters just to be like, thanks for being a good sport. Because there was no other show during the pandemic really playing, so we just made fun of like them being toothless. Like the entire time, and I was like, all right, thanks for being a good sport.
That's so funny.
What reality are you into? Because I like I do really like some reality. Like I got very into Love Island, which is the same thing where it just
I love Love Island.
Such a time suck. But
the British ones.
Yes.
The British ones. Are You the One?
Are You the One is one of my favorite reality shows of all time because it's like that's so dumb, but it's also, I like the math element of it too, where it's like you got to figure out how many couples or whatever are making sense, and you can try to figure it out before they do, and it makes it
fun. I like the open one that they did where it was like,
that was
anything bonkers. Goes. And then yeah. Everybody liked the one androgynous, like woman, male guy
who was like a fuck boy. Yeah.
Who was the fuck boy, which just goes to show like, we all just want to be gay. but my guy was on a reality show and I met him because I made fun of his reality show on my show.
Really?
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was on Alaskan Bush People.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't have any teeth, but he has a heart of gold.
All right, we got some more comments here. John Rosenberger says, saw it on Broadway with a girl I was dating and her parents. She and her mom had seen it 4 times previously and cosplayed it. And it's always been funny to me to think about these women who had enough money to see the same wildly popular musical on Broadway 5 times in the first year it ran, dressed up like hipster street urchins. That's so funny that that's their version of cosplaying. It's like,
yeah, they're like
a homeless person.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
They're Mary like dipping Hula. Their. Yep. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead. They're just.
No,
like,
at the moment's past.
Mary Houlihan says, a couple years ago, I was watching docs about Lower East Side squatters on YouTube, and I got to thinking, you know, I never really got around to seeing Rent. And then I watched the movie and listened to the soundtrack, and winky face, I liked it. Shh. Don't tell.
I love Mary so much.
Honestly, there's a pretty strong 90s nostalgia appeal in the same way as Friends. And then she wrote Friends out the way that it is in the show with the.
Oh, I love that. Yes, little dots. Yeah.
Mary Houlihan. So funny. Aaron Weininger says, I've gone from loving to hating back to loving this musical. The role of Roger ruined so many actors' vocal cords. It was quintessential high school theater geek tunes. I still remember every word to La Vie Boheme and every other song in the show.
See, Roger did, because people are like, yeah.
I think that's what it is. I could just tell it hurts or something. It's just it's
very cool. You should listen to Aida. He's so good in Aida.
Yeah. All right.
Heather Henley, who's like the lead of Aida, is one of the best singers in the world. Like she should be like Celine Dion, like I am the best singer in the world. But she's very humble. So listen to her.
Natalie Cuomo says Idina Menzel, she said Mendel, not me, was Maureen, and also Elphaba in, that can't be right, right? In Wicked, is it Elphaba?
I don't think so. Elphaba?
That's not Elphaba, right?
Elphaba.
Elphaba is how they pronounce
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're idiots.
Nope. Natalie, you scared me with Idina Menzel and I lost trust. in Wicked on Broadway, and she's amazing. Heart eyes. Also, Whitney Cummings' last IG post is her singing Rent in her pajamas, LOL.
Oh, wow. It.
We don't need it.
David Rader says, I was a tech theater kid in high school. I did all the lighting and I liked it, but man, I could never get anything done because there were always a bunch of actor kids just belting those fucking Rent songs anytime they had some downtime. Anytime I was on the headset with our lighting director trying to balance a color wash, 4 kids right next to me harmonizing 525,600 minutes.
Wow, a 5-part harmony?
And they were all trying to sound the loudest. Anytime I hear a Rent song now, I feel like a very specific mix of irritation and tinnitus, or as some people say, tinnitus. Lindsay Ray says 525,600 will never sound like an actual number again. Fair. You're just gonna hear that. Let's see, are there any others? Aaron Lampart says, the movie is garbage. I saw the original cast on Broadway, and I'm sorry, but it did indeed rip. I love it.
Love Aaron.
Lita Class says, I read the Broadway actors didn't want them to make the movie all Hollywood, but I saw the Rent movie, and while it was entertaining, not memorable for me. The magic of the theater didn't quite translate without the big movie stars in it. Sorry, but it worked for the musical Chicago, in my honest opinion.
Dang. Yeah. Good call.
Let's do, this was Mohammed Patel coming in hot, says it wants to be this woke anti-capitalist work, but in reality, it just reads as a bunch of rich white kids complaining, but they're not all white though. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. Angel's not white.
But the two lead are white dudes.
And I think like, that is part of what was bothering me is those two guys. I was just like, oh, shut the fuck up, man.
They're like, how can we write stand-up comedy when all my dad sends me his lunch money?
That's so funny. That's totally it.
Should we rewrite those? We should rewrite Rent as like a
stand-up,
stand-up musical thing. We're not going to get past... Cause everyone, cause Whitney's already done it. One more person says we look alike. I swear to fucking God.
Go off.
Go off, Queen. All right. Last comment here, and then we'll get to the ratings. Nolan Miller says the inner gay boy in me threw up when I heard Seasons of Love be performed at a church with well-known anti-gay rhetoric. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh God, Jesus. That's like, do you know that everyone, the person who wrote it was gay? That's
so weird. They that is not for you, church. Sorry. All right. That does it for the comments, which means we have one last segment here where we rate the playlist that you gave us. But before we do that, you get the final, you get to give your final thoughts on the musical Rent. Jade, the floor is yours.
I think somebody said it correctly. It was the best comment. I thought it was just something about 90s nostalgia when I didn't really understand anything yet. And you know what? It's just don't take yourself so seriously. And that's what it reminds me to do, the music. And the end.
Short and sweet. I love it. Tommy, you want to take the floor?
Sure. So I think of the six we're counting, I would say I think there are four absolute bangers on this list that I really love. With One Song Glory, Light My Candle, Out Tonight, and what was the last one I really liked?
Take Me or Leave Me?
Take Me or Leave Me. Yes, those songs absolutely rule. I'm all in on those. And then the Tango and the Mortal Kombat one are not as much for me, but I do really like Rent, and it was fun to listen to these songs again. So I'm gonna go 4.75 out of 6.
Oh, wow.
4.75. Okay.
Out of 6. That's good. Thank God we're not counting Rent. you won me over with One Song Glory, and it made me hate his voice a little less, which really made the rest of the playlist a lot better. And I got to tell you, you made my Grinch of musicals heart grow 8 sizes today.
Aww.
And I'm going to split that in half and subtract a little bit. And I liked Light My Candle just enough, but I still found him annoying in it. I just didn't like his vibe. And
so you just like hate Adam Pascal, basically.
I just find him to be a little corny is all. And the one where the cat dies, I didn't like the
dog. It was the dog.
Oh, sorry, the
cat. Nobody would care.
I'm looking at a cat while I said that. Yeah. I had cat on the brain, and which is a really,
really great song.
Yeah, yep. But I still did like the drums in it though. I thought that was cool and impressive. Take Me or Leave Me was I enjoyed. Out Tonight's really good. And I'm going to go 3.75 out of 6, which is
higher
than I thought we were going to go. Watching the beginning, I was like, I'm going to fucking hate this.
But honestly, you watch a movie version of like, it's like reading a great book and then being like, well, the book was better. It's like, yeah, well, the fucking shit.
For sure. I mean, I didn't read the book, but in this case.
You didn't read the book? Rent.
But you won me over. You made good arguments, and you picked better songs than you picked good songs. So 3.75 out of 6. But you also get to give this thing a rating just to put a button on it. So what do you rate it, Jade?
Well, you know, I'm obsessed with it. I picked it. It makes me feel whole again, like in the time where I wasn't jaded by the industry, and it just reminds me of like why I love musical theater. So I go 6 out of 6.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect.
This was so fun. Is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out, Jade?
Oh yeah. I'm going to be at the Carlson. If this comes out before on the 21st and 22nd, May 21st, 22nd, look at jadecatapreta.com for all my dates. I'm up a lot in LA locally this week, and check out my brand new podcast, Jaded, at the Comedy Store.
Nice.
All right. Yes.
Hell yeah. Check all that out. And check Tommy and Luke Moniz out at the Bell House on
Saturday, May 15th. Maybe. Very excited. We got Megan Gailey. We got Sean Patton. We got two other people I can't remember right now. It's going to be a great show.
Wait, Megan Gailey is on my show tonight.
She's jet setting. She is. Yeah. She's working on that Sam J show.
Good God on the 20th, but I won't be there because I will be at the DC Improv May 22nd. And like I said, get tickets to that and get on the Patreon. It's only $3 a damn month and you get bonus episodes every week. And besides that, yeah, check out Good God. I don't know what the next dates will be, but I'm sure they'll be soon and always hot lineups. All right, Jade Catapretta, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.